The Joe Bolts Fan Podcast can be found at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, other podcast platforms, and of course, like so many thousands of you do, right here at JoeBucksFan.com. Now, I am jumping in to give you a special offer that I found out about last night, and I still can't believe it, but it is real. Between now and April 25th, opening night of the NFL Draft, between now and April 25th, 2019, at Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, if you buy a vehicle from them, they will give you two season tickets to the Buccaneers in 2019. Now, that's not two tickets, two full season tickets to the Bucs. Two season tickets. I don't know what else to say. You just buy a vehicle from Bill Curry Ford between now and April 25th. The dealer has all the details, but there really aren't many. You want to contact Sean Sullivan, general manager. He's there most of the time. Pop in. Everybody knows about the offer. You can email Sean. You get the email address for him right there at BillCurryFord.com. It's a tremendous offer. They love Bucks fans. They are Bucks fans. Bill Curry Ford.
Yes, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. My name is Tom Lang, and no, this is not an advertisement, so don't skip it. No skipping. We do something up here in Tallahassee at the day job. It's called a Montage Monday. After a big win of some variety, or sometimes a loss, we poke fun at. If Florida State does something huge on the playing field or the court, we decide to commemorate it with a fun little montage. Well, I decided that since I'm as big a Lightning fan as there gets, and I have this stuff at my disposal, why not put together a montage just encapsulating the playoffs, the feeling of we've been here before, let's do it again. And I went back to an old standby I used years and years ago in Tallahassee for a little opening montage, an homage to our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, and that is what's going to kick off, that's what's going to drop the puck for this edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Enjoy.
Has arrived in the Sunshine State.
Now we're back where we started. Here we go around again.
What you play for is what you dreamed about.
Day after day, I get up and I say, I better do it again.
Point once it gets it.
For Cirelli, score! Cirelli!
Back where we start. Here we go around again. Here we go around again. Back where we start. Come on, do it again, do it again.
Carried on now for a feed in front of Cavalier. Score! Nene Cavalier has won it in overtime.
Moves it ahead in full flight. Nikita Kucherov with a shot. He scores!
This was a team that didn't play with each other, they played for each other. That's why we're here.
Taylor the shot, redirected, score! Game 7, Montage St. Louis! Running out of time though, 4 seconds left. In front, Happy Moore, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and now the first, Stanley Cup!
Day after day, I get up and I say, come on, do it again.
From the ESPN Radio studios in Tallahassee, Florida,
and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network,
this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Welcome
this isn't just the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with me. This is a playoff edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, brought to you all season long by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Yes, it's here. It is finally here. We can focus on the Stanley Cup playoffs in Tampa. Are you ready? Are you ready? I've been ready for weeks. It was the sign-off on last week's edition not too long ago. Actually, we put one out on Friday. This is a special setting of the table edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. I said it, man, we've accomplished everything we can. There is not much more to do. Nikita Kucherov, it would bear out, though, had just a couple of more things to accomplish before the regular season was over. With a 6-3 victory over the Boston Bruins, it was kind of a lazy Saturday afternoon in TD Garden. Some of the stars for both teams taking the day off. Nikita Kucherov did not. Steven Stamkos did not. And Nikita Kucherov racked up 2 points, including a secondary assist on the final goal of the season, an empty netter for Tyler Johnson. And what did that assist do for Mr. Kucherov? It made him the highest scoring Russian in NHL single season history. 128 points for Nikita Kucherov tops Alexander Mogilny's total from more than two decades ago. So he is the highest scoring player in a single season in his country's history. And make no mistake about it, this is not Germany or England. People care a lot about hockey in Russia. Kudos to Nikita Kucherov. And I have to say, it snuck up on me a little bit to see how emotional he was to hit that benchmark. That was awesome. Rarely do you see an emotion out of Nikita Kucherov other than satisfaction when something good happens. Not over-the-top exuberance, but more satisfaction. And then anger when something doesn't go right. He's a perfectionist. I had the pleasure of sitting behind the bench before Game 5 of the and for Game 5 of the Eastern Conference first round last year against New Jersey. It was a day where the handshake line closed everything out. And to watch Nikita Kucherov skate off the ice after every shift is really to see what it's like to be around a perfectionist. Because anytime his shift did not end with a goal, he was furious with himself. I mean, he's ready to get back on the ice and pissed as he's skating off and taking his place on the bench just about every single time. So I was really happy to see the positive emotions come out of him, at least for one afternoon, because now it's about bearing down. 128 points for Nikita Kucherov, and fittingly, 128 points for your President's Trophy champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, who, no, I didn't forget, racked up 62 wins in the salary cap era. Not even close is the second best team in the salary cap era of the NHL. In fact, only one other team in hockey history has 62 games in the regular season. That was the 95-96 Red Wings. We've talked about them. A lot of comparisons to the Red Wings, given that, you know, Stevie Y played for that team 20-plus years ago, and he crafted this team in 2018-2019. But there it is. Tampa Bay Lightning stands with only one equal, and for my money, even though we've had some overtime success and the shootout exists now, it did not then. I believe this is the best team in regular season history in the NHL. Every team is built to be average, and yet here we are staying underneath the salary cap, and we've won more than three quarters of our games. 128 points. There's a good article on Yahoo Sports NHL breaking it down why it's more difficult for Tampa to do what it did, even with a two-point must system, if you will. A team has to walk away with 2 points. In the 90s, that wasn't the case. When the Montreal Canadiens won 60 out of 80 games way back in the 70s, you could walk away with a tie and just a single point. So even though you have this crutch for Tampa Bay, where we go 6-1 in the shootout, in fact, and we won seven other games in three-on-three overtime, it's still in this person's opinion, and he lays out the facts as to why parity in the league is usually the biggest one. This is the most impressive team in regular season history. And so we appreciate that. We savor that. But then we put it away. Because now on Wednesday, we get down to the nitty-gritty. This is a six to eight week playoff format that's as brutal as in any sport across the world. I think it's the most brutal, personally, because of the hell these guys go through, the physicality of these 6 to 8 weeks, and the way the game is officiated. It is allowed to be nasty. Being nasty is perfectly fine. A lot of slashing calls and hooking calls in the regular season that will go ignored starting on Wednesday night. And that's right, we did say it on Friday of last week that we are starting early. The first night of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Wednesday, April the 10th, the year of our Lord 2019. And so Tampa Bay will be among the first to play, actually the first game to play, of these playoffs. Will they be involved in the last game, these playoffs? That's what we hope for. It is the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's our opponent. And before I get into the fact that we are playing the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I'll also take a look at the bracket in both the East or the West. No predictions, really. I'll just kind of fly by, give you some observations, and set your DVRs if you're not going to stay up late, and certainly set your life according to the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, because there are some awesome series right away in the first round. The bracket format is panned by many, and I can understand why. You have a lot of good teams eliminated earlier on in the playoffs than you normally would. However, this is the good side of it, is that right out the gate, it's not chalk, 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 chalk. You've got compelling storylines in the East and in the West. But before we do that, the most important thing, what I say the most important thing was, last Friday, it was that Victor Hedman must be available for us to go deep into the playoffs. And we were doing the math on it. It has not been confirmed. Waited for today's practice to conclude before recording this podcast to get the observations of the beat reporters down there, but then also to hear the thoughts of John Cooper on the injury situation. And Victor Hedman did take part in practice. He skated with the team, and not only did he skate with the team, here's the best sign of them all. He took line rushes with the top pair on defense. He wasn't in some sort of rotational group at pair four, and he also was on the first team power play. So all signs point to Victor Hedman being available in game one of the playoffs against Columbus. Some bad news, though, came hand in hand with it. Anton Strahlman was not present at practice today. We're going to hear John Cooper's thoughts on that. Some general thoughts about being in the playoffs, the mindset of this team. One more note, too, you will hear is about Ryan Callahan, who was not at practice today. But here are Coach Cooper's thoughts. It's about 2 minutes, and bear with the audio when the people are asking the questions. It's just the microphone wasn't in their face, so it gets a little bit noisy there, but you'll hear the questions. 2 minutes of John Cooper reflecting on the season. That's part two, but part one, how about Victor Hedman, Ryan Callahan, and Anton Strahlman? Coach, what say you?
Hedman was out there today. How do you look?
I look good. Just the mere fact of having him out there was nice. So he was, he'd been on the ice with the team for a while, and it's looking encouraging.
Update on Strahlman or Callahan at all?
I don't. Hope to have Callahan on the ice tomorrow, potentially Strahlman, but I'm not sure yet.
Do you have a setback? Strahlman had one from...
Yeah, he's just working through things. It's tough for him.
You said have Hedman back on the ice with the team. Was he skating on his own before today?
He was.
This is not, because this team, the core of this team is going to be together for a long time, so you can't really do the Stanley Cup or the bust. But in a sense, do you want guys to have it in their minds that this is their time and we need to look at it like that?
I don't think so. I just think every year is unique. So you can't predict, who's going to predict that we were going to the Stanley Cup final in 2015? I don't think anybody was. When you go into a season, your goal is to make the playoffs. You have to make the playoffs to give yourself a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. We've done that. Do we have a little bit more experience in some of these areas than maybe some other teams do? There's no doubt we do. But that doesn't guarantee we're going to keep moving on. 62 wins doesn't guarantee that we're going to move on. 62 wins makes us feel pretty good about ourselves, that we can play the game at a high level. But playoff series, there's health, there's matchups, there's so many different things that go into them. But have you prepared yourself for this moment? And we feel we have. Where we take this from here, that's the unwritten part of this story. But do we like our group? Do we feel prepared? Are we excited for what's ahead of us? There is no question.
sounds like this team, mentally speaking, is in a good place, at least if they are, if they're echoing the sentiments of their head coach. They're seeing the forest for the trees and understanding that nothing is promised, and they should not think that anything is promised in this first-round series against Columbus. Even though this is the bracket format of the NHL playoffs, it's not a 1-8 seeding of the Eastern Conference. If you're the one seed, you're getting the 8 seed into the playoffs. It doesn't change. And even though Columbus is number 8 in the East, this is not a pushover like it was against New Jersey last season. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. For the injuries, it sounds like if I was playing the NFL injury game, it sounds like Victor Hedman is probable. He was skating away from the team, joined the team as they returned to Tampa Bay, and was taking line rushes on the top pair and then with the number one power play. You wouldn't be wasting everybody's time if Victor Hedman was not going to be available on Wednesday. It just doesn't make any sense. So barring a setback, maybe the protocol, again, open speculation here that it's probably something to do with a ding to his head. You know, barring a setback, it looks like he'll be listed as probable in my fictitious NFL injury game. Ryan Callahan, I'd list as questionable. I don't even know. He might be a scratch anyway, even if he were healthy. But it sounds like they're hopeful to get him tomorrow. And if they do get him tomorrow, then all will be well. He'll be available. Whether or not they put him in the group of 12 of our forwards that play in game one, that remains to be seen. And then doubtful, it sounds like, for Anton Strahlman. Now, I hate to hear that he's working through some things, according to Coach. It sounds like maybe a pain tolerance issue. I don't know. Since it's the playoffs, maybe you let him have game one and then get him in the lineup for game two moving forward. Maybe they're trying to cheat to get as much rest as they can. For number six, you can certainly win without him, but it's a lot easier when he's in the lineup and eating big minutes for you. We shall see there. One thing that's not questionable, well, that's the deals. The deals at Bill Curry Ford. All the easy deals are at BillCurryFord.com, where it's more than just a powertrain. New general manager, he's not the new general manager anyway. General manager Sean Sullivan, our pal, who's been with him all year long, just like you've been with the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast all year long. General manager Sullivan wants you to know that all 2018 vehicles must go. They must go right now, up to $10,000 off. Reach out to Sean. At Bill Curry Ford, you can stop by the showroom. It's right near the stadium, or you can visit BillCurryFord.com right now to see all the deals and everything they have in stock. And maybe, just maybe, they'll give you a sweet deal. On to the Columbus Blue Jackets. My thoughts as to what this best of seven will entail. Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday. Those are games 1-4. My thoughts on that right after this. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Yeah, it's cliche, but I mean, honestly, when you go to Amalie Arena, formerly the Ice Palace, you go to the Expo Center or go to the Thunderdome back in the day, you wanted to hear Thunderstruck. You had to hear Thunderstruck upon the team taking the ice. It just gives you the extra little, the jolt you need, if you will. And so, to open the playoffs, what's more apropos than a little bit of AC/DC? Welcoming the Bolts, the President's Cup champion Bolts, to the Field of 16. All right, they say Thunder for days and days and days and days. You get it. The Eastern Conference bracket looks like this. On the Atlantic side, Tampa Bay, Columbus. That is the division champion along with wild card position two. And we play Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday. And that is 7 o'clock starts for all of those games. We will be on Sun Sports, of course, for the entirety of the first round down there at Tampa. But if you are out of market and you need another TV channel, we are playing on USA Network on Wednesday night. CNBC on Friday, NBCSN, that's the typical hockey network, on Sunday, and then on Tuesday back to CNBC. So you are playing a lot of roulette with your TV remote for the first four games. On the other side of our little quadrant here, you've got Boston and Toronto. And thank you to the NHL. Really do appreciate this, National Hockey League. They are not playing the same night we are, so we can enjoy kicking back and watching these two teams hopefully beat the hell out of each other for seven games They are Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. Now, we do line up on Friday, Sunday, Tuesday for games 5 through 7. But for the first 4, you can really get a feel for this series between Boston and Toronto on the off nights of our series. On the other side of the Eastern Conference, it looks like this. Washington won the division, wild card position number 1, the Carolina Hurricanes. That is a Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Thursday. On Saturday, they do play in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. And then the other side of the bracket, or that quadrant, that would be the Metro Division, right? Islanders, Pittsburgh, seeds 2 and 3 going head-to-head. They match up with us for the first 4 games of their series. So when we get to intermission in games 1, 2, and 4, we can watch Pittsburgh and the Islanders. They do play on Sunday at noon compared to us playing Sunday at 7 p.m. Probably has something to do with Sidney Crosby and NBC. Yeah, they like him just a little bit on NBC. Pierre Maguire can't get there fast enough. He's probably already there waiting outside Sidney's home with a cup of coffee and a donut saying, "Can I get you anything else, Sidney? I love you so much. Please, would you just give me anything in your home? I just want to own a fork, a Sidney Crosby fork." Off to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Okay, here is where they are more than an 8 seed. Unlike last year's New Jersey Devils, we could have played our B-minus game. I'm talking our regular season B-minus game, and I think we would have beat the New Jersey Devils. This one, I think you got to have at least your B-plus game to earn it. Columbus is going to make you earn this thing. The number one question for me, Coach Tortorella comes back home, or at least his former home, where he won the Cup with us back in 2004. How do you want to play at Columbus? Because the Blue Jackets can skate up and down the ice. They can play that fast-paced game. It's not something you want to do with us. And so I don't know if they trap or if they're trying to play possession in the offensive zone rather than get more chances and try to play for volume. It should be really interesting to see how they draw this thing up. But the one thing that they do so very well when they played us is they do like to pressure us as we're getting out of our zone. They're trying to really thwart our transition game before it even gets off. One pass. So I would look for Columbus to pressure us greatly as we're trying to exit our D zone to throw off the timing of everything we do, getting between the blue lines and then into their zone with speed. The other thing I'd say I look at here and I'm really worried about, if I was to list my number one concern, is Columbus's counter offense. If we turn the puck over at either of those two key points, which is the blue line exiting the zone, our own defensive zone, or the blue line entering the offensive zone, they can get back in a 3-on-1 in a heartbeat. They do have that counter-punch ability. So you could see, I mean, conceivably here, if Columbus wanted to play it conservatively and they wanted to, sure, we're going to give up a little bit more in the way of chances, raw number of shots type of thing, but we keep that puncher's chance, it could be 2-1 Columbus in the second period where they only have 12 shots and we've got 20, maybe closer to 25. The whole key there is the play of Bobrovsky. Sergei Bobrovsky is enigmatic, and I think that's putting it lightly. The dude can be one of the best goaltenders in all of the world. Some of the saves this guy makes will absolutely make the top saves or top plays of the week, month, and entire calendar year in the National Hockey League. This is who he is. But then he also can be just awful. I mean, he got pulled in a game recently, Columbus at Tampa, and he made a scene in the dressing room. John Tortorella said stay at home for the remainder of the road trip. So he can be a complete head case. And Torts hasn't always been good in terms of dealing psychologically with his netminders. So if he gives up a few in game 1, Columbus could be in a position where we get out of this series and they go home and they start golfing in 4 or 5. But if Bobrovsky plays up to his capability, I mean, it's a classic case of feast or famine here. We could be going 6 or 7 in this series, and that's to say nothing of the star player they have, which is Artemi Panarin. I've been calling him Panarin forever and a day, but I believe it's Panarin. And Artemi and Nikita Kucherov, first of all, are great friends, and you can see a lot of similarities in their game. They're not the biggest forwards in the world, but Panarin scores a goal in Friday night's game against the Rangers. And folks, honestly, I know it's usually a throwaway line for radio hosts or podcast people. Go back and check this out. Go back and look at this. No, seriously. You need to go check out the goal that Columbus scores to take the lead 3-2 in a game they've got to have, really. I mean, you didn't want to go into game 82 of the season needing points. They end up clinching in the Garden in unimpressive fashion, but, except for this goal. This third period lead goal from Panarin is the combination of vision, skill, velocity, and placement on a shot that we do see from the likes of a Nikita Kucherov. He is extremely dangerous, doesn't need much space, and if you allow him to get ahead of steam, you're in for a world of trouble. The good news for the Lightning, though, is that if the postseason follows regular season form, Columbus power play is freaking awful. Like, they were so bad this year that old pal John Tortorella enlisted the help of old pal Marty St. Louis. Marty St. Louis was hired, I think it was in January or February, to be a consultant for the Columbus Blue Jackets on how to make their power play better. I guess there was some marginal growth there, but the Blue Jackets' power play is really bad. And while the Lightning's power penalty kill last year in the playoffs, in the 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs, was the Achilles heel, this one's much, much better. And so if you subscribe to the theory that everything is tougher and everybody regresses to some sort of mean in the postseason, okay, for the 2 minutes we have somebody in the box and Columbus is on the power play, do we continue to feast and get the puck out of the zone, maybe generate some chances here and there, as the numbers would suggest entering the postseason, or do we see the beginning of a new trend? Make no mistake, the playoffs is a different time, and while we have a gulf between us in the standings, I mean, here's my favorite stat. I did this earlier in the year when the Lightning had single-digit regulation losses, and I pointed to, you know, the other team, or the next closest team in the league had 13 or 14 losses. We suffered 16 regulation defeats in 82 games this year, first of all. Just on its face, that's a ridiculous number. 16 times out of 82 games were we told, I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. The next closest team, the Boston Bruins, they lost in regulation 24 times. Boston had a heck of a season, 107 points. I mean, that's a great year where you can expect, rightfully, to win the division a lot of seasons. 24 regulation losses for the Bruins in 82 games. We had just 16. Unbelievable. And a huge part of that for us was special teams. Not just the proficiency on the power play, but it was the proficiency and the renewed ability to kill penalties. And that will be put to the test in the playoffs. So if I'm outlining keys to the series as we go into game one, and we'll be back on Friday for our routine Joe Bolts fan episode. It'll react to game one, preview game two. The keys to the series to me are to limit Columbus's chances to counterpunch. So that is to say, if you get to the blue line with some speed, make sure you hold on to that puck. And if you can't, get it in deep. And if you can't do that, at least scrum it up so the puck can't come out and go the other way cleanly. Because Columbus can hit you like that. And Torts is really good at allowing teams to feast a little bit. His teams to feast offensively. I mean, we know it. When we won the Cup in 04, we were one of the more aggressive teams in all of the sport. I mean, they talked about us on the national broadcast using our defensemen in the rush or allowing them to pinch up the boards like it was some revolutionary idea. And now it's just the standard in the NHL. Well, Columbus has something for us here, and they're going to make us earn it. But if you can limit the chances that Columbus gets to counter a rush of ours, if the defensemen stay at home a little bit more, or if the forwards have to rotate, they stay where they're supposed to instead of rushing four up the ice. So let's say we got four at the blue line or four at the top of the circle as we enter the zone. If we limit the times we do that and put the puck in danger, we increase our chances. The key, of course, again, for Columbus is to get great goaltending. Bobrovsky is capable, but he's also capable of having a meltdown. The sooner you can make this guy melt down, that is when the series will be over. And then, of course, number three is continue the trends in special teams. Penalties are called fewer and farther between. I am a little bit worried, as I said probably about a month or 6 weeks ago, that I think officials may look at our power play as so good, they might be more reluctant to call penalties on Columbus. might not kick in until you get to a bigger series against a bigger team. No disrespect to Columbus. We've gone through it a lot. As the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's not like we're some original six team that has a reputation that precedes itself, and it's like Duke basketball. You might get the 50-50 calls more if you're Duke in a game against, Virginia Tech, something like that. The Lightning have had to battle through that for an awful long time, so maybe we don't this series against a newbie like Columbus. But I do worry that our power play is so good and the reputation of it precedes the Lightning to the ice that maybe we only get one or two chances a game. I mean, you kind of saw it the stretch on the road here on the Canadian Victory Tour, that referees were a little bit more reluctant to allow us on that power play. So if we can win the special teams battle, I really like our chances 5-on-5. I don't know that Columbus has a whole lot for us 5-on-5, except when they use our momentum against us in the counter game. But we will see. And it really should be fascinating to see. I think we're going to play it straight up the way we played all season long. It'll be interesting to see if Columbus wants to slow the game down. Yes, for 82 games, it's fun to play a certain way, but now it's about matchups and it's about adjusting to what your opponent does best and limiting the chances that they can do what they do best. And if Columbus has any brains to them at all, that would be to play a little bit slower of a game. And the best way to do that is to get on us as we're exiting the zone. The line rushes this week, before we go, this is the last thing I'm going to do this week, or at least today, and then we'll reconvene on Friday. The line rushes today were interesting. I was wondering down the stretch of the regular season if we were mixing up the lines just to kind of let the guys have some fun, a bit of a reward. But the line rushes for Monday, and this could change on Tuesday. It includes Palat, Stamkos, and Johnson on that top line. So Tyler Johnson has now moved, and it appears he will continue into the playoffs to be on a different line than he has been most of the season. He has moved to the wing for Stamkos and Palat, whereas the second line is now Kucherov on left wing, Point at center, and then Yanni Gourde has now drawn in line rushes with that 1A line, or they could be the first line. I don't really care. Love Yanni's game for the playoffs. I think this is a fun move. If it sticks that way, I'm plenty okay with it. Line three, Matthew Joseph had been on this line a lot. It was Alex Killorn, Matthew Joseph with Tony C, the Bolt father, Anthony Cirelli at center. That did not continue to practice today. Line rushes for today saw JT Miller drawing with Cirelli at center and Alex Killorn. Found that interesting. I'm totally cool with that, as you guys know. I think he's made for this time of year, so that's fine by me. And then the fourth line today, with Callahan sidelined, that is the big footnote. But the fourth line today was Cedric Paquette at center, Adam Ernie on the wing, and then Matthew Joseph on the other wing. I'm okay with all 12 of those. The D pairs today, Hedman and Dan Girardi, who has suddenly gone from, I don't know that he will be available for the playoffs, to you're paired with Victor Hedman. And so it is. Second pairing is the one we've counted on all season long, McDonough-Chernak. And then the third pairing today was Sergachev and Ruta with Coburn and Gaunce in pair four. So I don't know what that's about. I wouldn't read too much into it. We'll figure that out by Wednesday and Friday when Strawman's health becomes known, exactly what the D pairings are going to be. But there it all is. One other footnote is Louis Domingue practiced today, so it looks like Eddie Pasquale who got the win. Congrats to Eddie P. for another victory on Saturday up in Boston. Looks like he will get sent back to Syracuse, and Louis Domingue will be our backup as we head into the playoffs. We will reconvene on Friday. As you can hear, my voice is almost shot, so I'm glad I did this in one straight shot here instead of taking a break, as I sometimes do, a little peek behind the curtain. But this is that time of year. I mean, the gloriousness of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It reminds me of being a kid. My parents let me stay up a little bit later in the spring and summer months. It just doesn't get much better than the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll take a look at the West on Friday. That'll be a little throw-in footnote there. I think the dangerous team out there for me is San Jose. If they can get any goaltending whatsoever, that team is loaded. And they're also really physical. And then upset alert, watch out for Colorado. I am not impressed with Calgary. Their goaltending is pretty bad. Whether it's Mike Smith or the other guy, I mean, they're an 898, 910 save percentage type team. And Colorado's been playing desperate hockey for a while now. They're red hot, 7-1-2 in their last 10. And they have Nathan McKinnon, who is like, he's like Connor McDavid. Every time he takes the ice, it seems like there's at least one or two point blank chances. So that's an 8-1 matchup out in the West. Look out, Calgary. Be careful. But most of all, Tampa Bay, be careful. We got to earn this one. This is not New Jersey like last year. Let's earn it, Tampa. Let's get this thing going. We'll crank up a little bit of the AC/DC once again. Little Thunderstruck on the way out. And remember, folks, remember my tradition, and hopefully I'll be able to do this after game one. But find you a little victory song. It doesn't have to be my victory song. Mine makes no sense. It's L.A. Woman by the Doors. We're the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it's a song about Los Angeles, or at least a woman from Los Angeles. That's my song. Find yours. Find yours and hope that you get to play it 16 times over the next 8 weeks. This has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. As I said, part of the fantastic JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. We shall speak to you on Friday. Go Bolts!